This influenza podcast series was recorded between July and December 2022, reflecting guidance for the 2022 to 2023 flu season. The general principles will still be relevant, but for exact information reflecting the latest guidance for 2023 to 2024, please go to the influenza e-learning modules on the RCGP e-learning site.
Welcome to this RCGP podcast on flu vaccination in pandemic times. My name is Dirk Pilard. I'm a GP and the Medical Director for Professional Development at the RCGP. Today, I'm interviewing my friend, Dr. George Cassianos. George is the National Immunization Lead for the RCGP, a position which he has now held since 1996. George is also president of the British Global and Travel Health Association, and he also works with European colleagues, where he's the board member of the European Scientific Working Group on Influenza and chairs a pan-European group of experts in influenza of 20 countries. Welcome, George. It's lovely to have you on the podcast again.
Thanks for having me, Dirk, and always a pleasure to meet you.
So let's start about the basics of who gets flu vaccination this year, because again, there's been some changes. Most of us will have spent our career vaccinating healthy adults who are 65 or over. But for the last 2 years, that age threshold was lowered to 50. This year, George, are we still vaccinating healthy 50 to 60-year-olds in the coming flu season?
Well, every year in England, we receive the flu plan around April in the form of a tripartite letter from the NHS, the UK Health Security Agency, and the Department of Health and Social Care. I'm referring, of course, to the letter we received on the 22nd of April, 2022. In it, we are told which groups are included in the National Influenza Immunization Campaign that starts in September. I'm sure our colleagues were surprised to see that NHS England, after 2 years of vaccinating healthy 50 to 64-year-olds, decided not to vaccinate them against influenza this flu season. We know that one in four admissions to hospital due to influenza, the patient is age 45 to 64. We also know that the Southern Hemisphere is having a bad time with influenza this season. So we may or may not face the same problem. Also, spare a thought for the GP practices that ordered their vaccines last winter, only to hear they will now not be vaccinating the 50 to 64-year-olds. The good news is that NHS England, on the 15th of July, reversed its decision not to vaccinate the healthy 50 to 64-year-olds. This brings them in line with the three devolved administrations of Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland, which never dropped the idea of the need to vaccinate this important cohort. We're asked to vaccinate against flu the 50 to 64-year-olds after the 15th of October, so all other cohorts have priority. By the way, we can still vaccinate a healthy individual age 49 years as long as they're going to be 50 by 31st of March, 2023.
Okay, what about children? We've seen the age at which healthy children are vaccinated creep up year by year. Is this trend continuing?
Well, we introduced vaccination against influenza of healthy children back in September 2013. And year on year, as you mentioned, we extended the age to the point that last flu season, we offer vaccination to all children aged 2 to 15 years. During these years, we showed the world that vaccinating also healthy children, in addition to the children in the at-risk groups, is hugely beneficial to them, but also to everybody else, because children are efficient spreaders of influenza viruses. During the early pilots, we showed that vaccinating healthy children compared to areas where healthy children were not vaccinated achieved statistically significant reduction in children seeing their GPs with influenza-like illness, visiting A&E with respiratory symptoms, and being admitted to hospital with proven influenza infection. At the same time, people age 18 years and over, that's all ages, visited their GPs with influenza-like illness statistically less. I am pleased to say, Dirk, that NHS England has changed its mind and will now allow vaccination of healthy 2 to 10 years of age, but also extend it to healthy children age 11 to 15 years. The good news for our colleagues in the three devolved administrations of Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland is that they will continue vaccinating all healthy children in the secondary schools.
So that's good news, and I hope that a good vaccination campaign can then reduce the immense patient load on primary care and A&E. So the final group we haven't mentioned are those who work in health and social care. We've seen increased vaccine hesitancy in this group over the pandemic, related mainly to the COVID-19 vaccine. Is that also an issue for the flu vaccine? And do you think there is any way to address that?
This group of health and social care workers were told it was mandatory for them to receive COVID vaccine, if you remember. Blanket mandatory vaccination in the UK does not usually work. It is possible that many of our health and social care workers, although well-meaning, felt a resistance to vaccination because they were mandated to receive the COVID vaccine rather than because they wanted the vaccination. This might have produced some resistance to vaccination. I don't think it is so much a vaccine hesitancy problem as it is a vaccine acceptance problem. Another fact, Dirk, is the fact that the COVID-19 pandemic has seen an explosion of myths and inaccuracies, especially on social media, and health and social care workers are not immune to this problem. And as we all know, mistrust of vaccination can adversely affect not only the COVID-19 vaccination campaign, but also the influenza vaccination campaign. In addition, many of us have observed among our patients vaccination fatigue, and this may affect also health and social care workers. On the plus side, health and social care workers know very well how severe influenza infection and its complications can be. Now, you ask me if there is anything we can do. Among the many things we can do to address this problem is to give them good evidence-based information and convenient times and venues to get vaccinated. One thing not to do is to make vaccination mandatory. By the way, we must remember that all frontline health and social care workers should be offered flu vaccination by their employer. The complementary NHS influenza vaccination offer for primary care staff of last flu season has not been extended to 2022-23 flu season. It is also our responsibility as employers to offer our GP practice staff influenza vaccination at our expense. Of course, anybody in the clinical groups at risk or age 50 years and over can be vaccinated by their GP practice, or they may choose a pharmacy if they are age 18 years and over, and they will get the vaccine entirely free on the NHS.
That's reassuring to hear. So are there any lessons that we can learn from all the vaccinating that we've done over the last few years, both flu and COVID-19? And note that you mentioned that we have an issue with vaccination fatigue, but can we done anything new that we have done over the last couple of years and maybe stimulate acceptance?
Well, one thing we have learned, especially during the pandemic, is how to do mass vaccination for COVID, but also for flu. Because we're expecting this autumn to start vaccinating, among others, the groups of people that will require another COVID booster, many of us are getting ready for mass vaccination in our practices. This is great as we're given a chance to co-administer other vaccines apart from COVID and flu vaccine. It is important that we prepare our practices for mass vaccination this autumn. This involves the logistics for managing a large number of people coming through our doors, but also making sure our pharmacy fridges are in excellent working order and there is adequate space for the vaccines we shall be receiving in early autumn. We also need to ensure our vaccinators will have access to the patient's electronic NHS notes during the vaccination session. Very important is to know our vaccines.
Do you think with the numbers in Australia as they stand, that this year's flu season is going to be again affected by the pandemic?
What they saw in Australia is early influenza and the highest number of influenza confirmed infections that they have seen in recent years. And that is a fact. Now, that may or may not be repeated here in the UK. This year's flu vaccination campaign may be helped by the pandemic, as we will be seeing our patients for their COVID vaccination, of course. So what a great chance to also give the flu vaccine at the same time. If on the other hand, we go into another lockdown this autumn, then the pandemic may affect negatively the flu campaign, as it may be more difficult to get the patient to come to our practice or mass vaccination centers. The other consideration is whether the SARS-CoV-2 virus will suppress again circulation of other respiratory viruses. If I was to judge from what is happening in the Southern Hemisphere that I have just mentioned, the opposite might happen, in which case we shall see the flu viruses circulating, but this time, Dirk, with a population with a lower immunity because the population has not come in contact with flu viruses now for 2 years.
You mentioned giving people flu and SARS vaccination at the same time, but I know that one thing that worries people is whether or not they can give them at the same appointment. When the COVID-19 vaccine first came out, there was a concern about this, but I think we are not longer worried about this.
That's a very good question. We're now in a much better position than ever before, as not only we have the trials of co-administration of COVID vaccine with other vaccines done, but they have also published their results, and the NHS has given us the green light to co-administration. These mass or otherwise vaccination sessions, whether we administer COVID vaccination or just flu vaccination, is a great chance to complete the HPV in the young, but also the MenACWY vaccination for unvaccinated adolescents, but remember, up to their 25th birthday. Also, the pneumococcal vaccination for those in the clinical groups at risk, and also everybody age 65 and over. As regards to the shingles vaccination, there are two things we need to remember and observe. One is to ideally separate COVID and shingles vaccination by 7 days. The second is where we are vaccinating a patient age 65 years and over with the adjuvanted quadrivalent influenza vaccine, and the patient happens to be severely immunosuppressed that requires to have the new recombinant inactivated adjuvant shingles vaccine. These two vaccines should ideally be separated by 7 days. A very important point is to ensure that during our COVID or flu vaccination sessions, we have access to the patient's NHS vaccination status. Pregnant women need to have their COVID vaccination using messenger RNA vaccine, the flu vaccine, but also the pertussis-containing vaccine. They can all be given at the same appointment if it is necessary.
You've mentioned the quadrivalent vaccinations there, and I've been slowly but surely getting more confused over the last 4 years because we've been getting more and more specific instructions to use particular specific vaccines in specific ages. Why can't we have one vaccine for all adults?
The simple answer, Dirk, is because we have moved on in vaccinology as regards to influenza. observations by many scientists, but particularly by Professor Bellonia and his co-workers, who followed up the effectiveness of flu vaccine for over 11 seasons, that is from 2004 to 2015, show a common finding that the effectiveness of the flu vaccine to one particular and most important influenza virus, the AH3N2, was low and varied. In fact, during the 2017-18 season, our vaccines were barely recognizing the circulating and drifted AH3N2 virus. It was at that point that the JCVI advised that there are three reasons why we see low effectiveness of the influenza vaccine against the AH3N2, namely antigenic drift, immunosenescence, and egg adaptation. For the antigenic drift of the virus, the one thing we can do is to send more respiratory swabs to the laboratory so that the WHO can take a more informed decision when it comes to choosing the strains for the flu vaccine. For immunosenescence, that is associated with age, as you know, where we do not respond so well to vaccines as we get older, the answer is to use an adjuvant in your vaccine or increase the amount of antigen in your vaccine. For egg adaptation, it's simple. We avoid using eggs when we produce flu vaccines.
I think I have to get my head around that one. I still don't 100% understand which vaccinations we should use for which age group. So can you remind me which vaccines does the JCVI want us to use for which ages?
Yes, NHS England takes advice from the JCVI, and the recommendations we can summarize as follows. For adults generally, everybody 18 years to 64, including pregnant women, they should receive one of two vaccines, the cell-based quadrivalent influenza vaccine or the recombinant quadrivalent influenza vaccine. In the unlikely situation where we have run out of these two vaccines, the patient is with us and we have in the pharmacy fridge an egg-derived vaccine, then we can actually use it. Otherwise, we cannot. So that's 18 to 64. Now, specifically for 50 to 64, the very new advice which has just come out from NHS England is that they recommend egg-derived quadrivalent influenza vaccines, which I thought we have left behind, we're not going to be using. But because we may not have enough vaccines, this year NHS England suggests that 50 to 64 receive an egg-derived quadrivalent influenza vaccine, provided you have actually purchased those. And if we're left stock of the cell-based quadrivalent or the recombinant quadrivalent, then these two can be used as well. So what about patients 65 years and over? Of the vaccines available in the UK this year, two vaccines are recommended: the adjuvanted quadrivalent influenza vaccine and the recombinant quadrivalent influenza vaccine. If we have run out of these two vaccines, we can give this cell-based quadrivalent. No egg-derived flu vaccine is recommended in the UK for older adults. All these vaccines will be reimbursed by the NHS. By the way, as in previous years, the NHS allows us to offer the adjuvanted quadrivalent off-label to those now 64, but who will be 65 years of age before the 31st of March 2023.
It's still rather complicated, isn't it?
It is complicated, but that's how it is this year.
Okay. So is it a little bit easier with children?
Well, children aged 2 to less than 18 years will be offered the intranasal quadrivalent, the live attenuated influenza vaccine, which, as you know, is centrally supplied and therefore not reimbursed. The exceptions are where a child of this age cannot have the LAIV because of a valid contraindication. It is a live vaccine, of course. Or where the parents of a healthy child object to LAV on the grounds of porcine gelatin content. In these two circumstances, the cell-based quadrivalent is the recommended vaccine. Theoretically, we can also use an egg-derived flu vaccine, but the UK Health Security Agency has not procured this vaccine for this age. That leaves children aged 6 months to less than 2 years in the clinical groups at risk that need to be vaccinated against influenza. They can be offered the egg-derived QIV, which just for this age, is centrally supplied via Inform website. But what about if the child is allergic to egg? In this case, the NHS recommends that we offer the cell-based quadrivalent, which is not licensed in the UK for this age, but the NHS recommends it to be given off-label only where the child is allergic to egg protein.
Little bit less complicated, but still. So, with vaccine fatigue circulating, as you mentioned, can you give us an idea of what take-up rates we had for our flu vaccination program in previous years? And most importantly, what do we aim for this year?
During last season, 2021-22, we vaccinated 82.3% of our older adults aged 65 years and over. That is the highest vaccination rate we have ever achieved. Now, we achieved 52.9% vaccination rate of those aged 6 months to 64 years in the clinical groups at risk. 52.5% of those aged 50 to 64 years, 60.5% of the frontline health and social care workers, but only 37.9% of our pregnant patients, which is in fact lower than the previous year when we achieved 43.6%. We really need to make every effort to persuade our pregnant patients to accept the vaccine and get vaccinated, something they can do at our surgeries, at the pharmacy, or at the maternity services provided. So three places they can have the vaccine. In the case of our children, we saw a reduction in vaccination rates in 2021-22 compared to the previous year, 2021. In general practice, we vaccinated 48.7% of the two-year-olds and 51.4% of the three-year-olds. The school services achieved an average of 51.5% for children aged 4 to 15 years. Don't forget that we had a lot of problems with attendance to school and lockdowns during the last influenza season. So what should we achieve this year? At least what we achieved last year. But I would say that for pregnant women specifically, we really need to try harder to offer the vaccine to a lot more pregnant women that have accepted it in the past.
Okay, so it's up to us to make sure that we get the word out there. And yes, focus on pregnant women because, as you said, the numbers haven't been perfect over the last few years. George, I think that's all we've got time for this podcast. Thank you so much for that clear explanation about flu in continuously worrying pandemic times. To our audience, thank you for listening. Please do tune into the other podcasts about flu. And if you find podcasts to be a useful way of learning, please look at the other RCG podcast on a variety of different subjects. George, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And everybody out there, goodbye.